to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's what you're talking about this week.
Good evening. This is Ann Carrick. I'm in the studio, and Vincent Caprio is on the phone because now he's in Ohio. Vincent, every time we talk to you, you're in a new location.
Yes. Well, you know, as the co-founder of the Water Innovations Foundation, it keeps me busy. I actually have some meetings out here at the Environmental Protection Agency.
So you're on the road again.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
that's why I love having you in the studio. To keep things under control.
You know, I do that even when you're here in the studio with me, Vincent.
I know.
Yeah. So as we mentioned last time, we were talking about running a business this week, and there's lots of challenges when it comes to running a business. Sometimes you need more than just a great idea or a good product. And so we're going to focus today, though, a little bit more on some of the challenges related to government or regulations and taxes and fees that people may or may not know about. And Vincent, have you ever run your own business?
I've been running my own business for 5 years.
But you're a nonprofit. Right or no?
Okay. I run conferences. So I've been producing conferences on my own for 5 years. So those conferences I produce are my own business.
Oh, okay. So that's separate.
And then I have a contract with the nonprofit. But, you know, I've been in the conference and trade show business for 25 years. And previously, I had worked for producers. But then 5 years ago, I became my own producer.
Right, but I guess I didn't mean to put you on this spot there. Yeah. My point was, though, I mean, do you have a business where you have to deal with some of the legal issues as far as registering it with the state? And
I had to put in $15,000 of my own capital to put down the deposit for the first conference I produced. So I have to deal with hotels and contractors and caterers, and all that capital comes from me.
And that's one of the reasons that businesses fail. I think that's the number one reason, actually, is because they're undercapitalized. They don't have enough money up front. And so even if they have a great idea and a great product, you know, they don't have enough money to stay in business long enough to see a profit.
Right. And at present time, I have, like a lot of newer businesses in the last 5 to 10 years, we utilize contractors. So the person that does all my websites has her own business, and she's incorporated. So she's not an employee of mine, but she's a contractor,
right?
And she does all my websites.
Well, and I do that. I do several things where I'm an independent contractor, which I guess you could consider my own business. But I'm not a limited liability. I'm not incorporated or a partner or any of those things. So I don't necessarily have to register with the state. I don't need a tax ID number that's separate from my own Social Security number. And so that's part of the thing that we're going to talk about today. So, Vincent, what's been the biggest challenges in your own business from running your own business? Since that's what we're going to ask some other people and get answers to that, what would you say is your biggest challenge in running a business?
Access to capital.
Yeah.
With the recession coming in 2008, the challenge was, in running my conferences, being able to accurately determine how much people would pay as attendees to come to the conference.
Or to figure out what would be the right price.
Right. And the problem with it is that I have to negotiate with hotels to have these conferences, and they have certain fixed costs that they won't move off of. And it's a constant negotiation. So then also, I have to, when I go to the conference, hire contractors to work for me at the conference. And since they're not full-time employees, it's, you know, you bring people in for 5 days to work as contractors, and, you know, you have the challenges of their personalities because you don't have any control over them the other weeks of the year. So they come in, they work 5 days, and sometimes things happen.
Right. Well, and that's a challenge, whether it's a big business or a small business.
Right.
Or, like you're saying, someone that's subcontracted, or even if somebody you hire for the night, you know, if a caterer hires assistants for one party, the personality and the work ethic of that person can be an issue if it doesn't match with the rest of the business that person's running.
Right, right.
So you think money and employees, or I should say money and people, are the two biggest hurdles?
Access to capital, yes. And at one point in 07, I had been, and I was going to talk to Peter about this later, one of our guests. One of the banks in the area said, we see you're doing well, and we see what you deposit here. You should go for a loan. And the branch manager persuaded me to apply for a loan, and then, of course, I was rejected for a loan.
After they asked her or suggested
they could
it.
See that I was depositing over $500,000 in revenue, and they said, you should easily qualify for, at the time it was $600,000, you should be able to qualify for a $30,000 line of credit, and you'll definitely get it. And then, of course, it got to underwriting, and I got rejected.
And what did they say?
Because, my business doesn't have any distributable assets.
Oh,
my
right.
business is based on the revenue of the conferences, whereas, businesses that have buy capital and have assets, they could attach, but there's no assets in my business. So it's interesting, because most small businesses, you're not going to get a loan from any bank.
Yeah. And I talked to somebody at a business networking meeting once, and he helps companies to get grants. And he said that, a lot of times they try to get loans, and they would be better off getting a grant where they don't have to give the money back. In other words, that it's almost easier in some cases to get some sort of grant than to try to get a loan, and that's only getting worse right now with
right.
the current situation. We have Tim Driver on the phone, who is one of the owners of Fabricare Cleaners. And Tim, how are you this evening?
I'm well, thank you very much. How are you?
Good, thanks. So we're talking about challenges that business owners face. Now, you all have several dry cleaner, well, it's all the same company, but you have several locations in Fairfield County, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And we also do extensive pickup and delivery throughout southern Fairfield County.
Right. So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you face in your business and your industry?
Well, I'll tell you, I can echo that what the gentleman was just saying about financing. If you want money, don't go to a bank. There's other places to get it, and we've been frustrated through that avenue many times over. But one of the other bigger issues that we end up facing is related to labor and the regulations with respect to labor. It's the state of Connecticut labor laws and regulations has a manual of something just south of 1,000 pages, and digesting all of that as a small business operator is really something that we wrestle with.
And probably great if you have insomnia, but otherwise not such a fun read.
It is a dry read, I will give you that. It's a dry read. If you have some resource to read it for you, then that's one thing. But when we're sitting here plowing through the workers' comp regulations and the pay regulations and that kind of a thing, once you get past the minimum wage, which is kind of a common sense thing, and get into more of the nitty-gritty stuff.
So actually just trying to understand what you're supposed to be doing, as well as make sure you're doing it, but actually know for sure, what am I supposed to be doing?
Well, it's almost that as much as anything else. There's an awful lot of regulations in there, and a lot of them don't apply to us as a smaller business. But, there's a lot of stuff to wade through to find out what does apply to a small business.
Now, how long have you owned your own business?
Well, the business has been around for over 30 years, and I've been involved for about 7 or 8, and my business partner, Michael Astorino, has been engaged for 17.
Now, was your business affected by the recession?
Absolutely. We've seen it in every avenue, from people just eliminating dry cleaning altogether, or doing fewer pieces, or going for the low cost competitor. It's been a serious impact on our business.
Now, you've survived the recession. What strategic moves did you make to try to survive the recession?
Well, we're trying to do whatever we can to retain our existing customer base. So we're cutting our costs pretty dramatically, and we have cut our costs dramatically and continue to do so. But, we have a fairly significant customer base, and we like to try and attract those clients to some of our other businesses that we have developed within the umbrella of our organization. So we're diversifying in simple terms.
So you're moving into other areas as well as trying to cut back costs. You know, were you affected a lot by, you know, some of the massive loss of jobs in Wall Street? Because I know that since you cater to pickup and delivery and one of your locations is actually at a train station, I would assume you have a lot of commuters as clients, and if they're not going to work, they probably don't need to have very many clothes cleaned.
Well, absolutely. You know, we have two operations, one at the Northern Heights train station, one at the Fairfield train station. And absolutely, we've been impacted by the layoffs in Wall Street. You know, some people have just, you know, we've gotten that call which says, listen, my spouse has just lost their job. We're going to be lightening up on what we send to you guys, or, you know, we're going to start doing the things in home. We're going to launder our own shirts and press our own shirts. It's really quite amazing what we've seen. In addition, there's some other implications from just design and how that's changed the design of clothes towards
to easier care as far as people can just wash them.
Yeah, easier care, exactly.
Right. Now, I know that you all are very involved in some of the associations for your industry. Are you hearing the same concerns and challenges from either competitors locally or even, you know, other people in the same business in other parts of the country?
Yeah, well, we are, as you mentioned, and we're pretty tied into the national organizations with respect to some of the higher-end cleaners. And we're seeing and we're hearing that the impact of the economy specifically has been, you know, pretty universal, but it's amazing how it's kind of varied in degrees. You know, our friends down in Florida have been hit pretty badly, as you would expect, out on the West Coast. But some people in the middle of the country have been impacted a little bit less with respect to, you know, their own specific businesses. Regionally, we're, you know, I think many of our competitors and our associates have suffered the same as we have.
Now, what your retail and commercial, what's your percentage breakdown?
We're basically 100% retail.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, we do modest wholesaling.
Okay. So you're really relying on individual consumers to come to you and with whatever they need cleaned.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That's our target audience.
Well, as a retail, so you at least don't have any accounts receivable and collection problems then.
Well, we do. We're a kind of progressive in the way we try and work things. So we do take credit cards and do have accounts receivables. So we have collection issues. That's another thing we've done to kind of help weather the storm is be a little bit more aggressive on that front.
In other words, make sure that people are either paying up front or with a credit card so you don't have to chase around after the money?
Right. And we've had our instances where we've had to carry people for a little bit, and we just have to, you know, be more kind of aware of where they are and work with them to try and, you know, make sure that they're paying things down.
I would assume that you sort of monitor that so that you don't let it get out of hand.
Well, we absolutely do, and for the last year and a half, we've been, pretty much all over it.
Have you seen where it's getting worse, like people are taking longer to pay?
We've seen a bit of that, but, it's offset by us, paying attention to it a bit more. You know, we were a little more leisurely about it, a couple of years ago, but we don't have that luxury these days, and I think everybody kind of understands too.
Right. Now, since we've sort of been focusing on the challenges, but we don't want to make it sound like you guys are struggling, would you like to share some of the upsides? Because I just realized that we've been saying all these things as if you guys are, you know, you have all these problems you're dealing with, whereas overall your business is doing pretty well, from my understanding. Correct?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We've been getting the benefits of all of what we've been doing kind of in the last year and a half. We've also been a little creative in the way we're attacking the marketplace with our diversification into the restoration business, which is starting to kind of yield some results, and something we call home care, which is actually going into people's houses and cleaning their drapes, window treatments, and such. And one of the other things that we're pretty proud of and what we've been working pretty aggressively towards is going completely plastic bag less, as we say.
Right.
The Westport Town Council has eliminated plastic bags with everything with the exception of dry cleaning, and we've kind of said, you know, why just...
Why not dry cleaning too? Yeah.
Yeah. So
I live in Westport, so I'm very familiar with the no plastic bags that, you know, and they really are gone to the point when I go somewhere else, I'm reminded because the stores have all complied. Most of them have reusable bags, which is pretty much what you guys did. But you don't think about it when you're in Westport, and then when you leave to some other place and you're like, oh, that's right, everybody else is still using plastic bags. To me, it's normal not to see plastic bags at the grocery store or anywhere else.
Well, that's very true. And Wilton, you know, has been discussing this, a similar thing. So, you know, Westport's on the leading edge of that. It's where it's going. And we took kind of an interim step where all our poly is biodegradable. But, you know, we want to take it the full 9 yards.
Are there things that would make it easier for you as a business owner? And when I say things, I mean, you know, as far as either from the financial industry or from the state or the federal government, are there things that you feel like are obstacles that you run into over and over or not really?
Well, you know, I think that there are. And going back to, you know, my first point about labor and regulations.
The 1,000-page document, right.
Exactly. You don't know really what the regulations are until you know somebody comes in and audits you in some cases. So there are some resources for that, and you know there is this book, and you know we can go through that. Also, payroll companies you know will help out in that area if you have the budget to you know to hire that end of their operation.
Right. Is it the kind of thing where, is it legalese, like where an attorney would read it and understand it better, or is it just the sheer volume?
Well, it's a little bit of both. As you alluded to, it's pretty dry stuff, and it is written in kind of a legal mindset. But it's also just pure volume. I mean, you know, just as an example, a simple thing of, you know, can you pay an employee a salary or hourly? You know, we've kind of assumed that, you know, you can pay him whatever you're going to pay him, which, of course, is not right. You know, you can only pay salary to employees who are have management responsibilities, hire and firing, authority. And, you know, that's something that we learned, you know, learned the hard way.
Right, right. Well, you know, Tim, our first guest after the break is an attorney who works with small businesses. So we're going to take that question over to him and see what he has to say about that as far as
Great.
That whole document. Hopefully he's familiar with it. And so keep listening, and maybe we'll get some insight for you at the same time. You know, you can get some of those questions answered.
Great.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing, Tim. We're going to take a quick
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk to Joe DeFilippo, who will tell us a little bit more about the legal side of running your own business right here on This Week with Ann Carrick and Vince.